Heavenly Father, this week, raising the Mormon nice kid, 17 years old. He said, "Preacher, I believe Jesus died." He said, "I believe he was buried." He said, "I believe he rose again." He said, "Then they didn't see him anymore." I said, "Oh." I said, "The Bible says he was seen by over 500 people at one time after the resurrection. That's just one instance that was seen by people." I want to just say, I know my Redeemer lives. And seen him, not with his old, big old blue eyes. You know what I'm talking about, look at them Tadlock girls. They all got big old blue eyes. The boys, I don't know what happened. Girl, they got big old blue eyes. And seeing them with these big old blue eyes, I've seen him. He's alive. He's alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've been studying on 1 Corinthians, preaching on it. And a few weeks ago, I ran across a couple of articles about people operating on their emotions and feelings. And when I read that, I don't have a memory because I was too busy. But when I read that, I said, that's just like church. That's just like people's jobs. That's just like America. People operate on their feelings and emotions. Now, I'm as bad as anybody else. I'm an emotional person. I don't know if you notice that a lot, but I'm an emotional person. I used to like to argue. Amen. You know, that's an emotion. Anger. Emotion. I used to like to argue. Now, Terry don't have any idea what I'm talking about. He heard no argue. I just do what I said, what she said. Amen. But I used to like to argue. Me and Jacob, Dawson's mama, make me say, man, here I am wanting people fighting. She wouldn't have fight back. She wouldn't argue back. I told her to get up, get a book, start reading while I'm trying to pick a fight. I told her to start singing while I'm trying to pick a fight. I'm just telling you where it was. Oh, that's fine. Let's argue. But anyway, I don't like to argue. I'm not arguing. We don't argue. We just don't argue. We've been married almost 29 or 49 years. We don't argue. There was a house of order that had a movie called Love Story. Remember the Love Story? The theme of Love Story was never having to say, I'm sorry. But there are times when people disagree. Amen. And that's oftentimes or not all the time. Because there are times, called Miss Donna, before church, seeing a lady that she had an issue in her home. And you single ladies, let me just tell you, in this town, you got to be careful. Well, they will take you. It'd be like Guy said about doctors. Freedom is freedom. They'll treat you and street you. They'll get your money and run. They have to be careful. God raised me. I'm tough. It has to be tough. Single ladies. In this thing. Anywhere. But anyway, I'm going to miss it today. In the name of Jesus, don't read about it. In the name of Jesus. Proverbs 15:18 says, "The wrath of a man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." The word appease means quietens it down. Proverbs 26:21 says, "As coals are to burning coals with the fire, so is a contentious man that kindles strife." That was me. That's a cold water. The first guy, Jesus Christ, quiets the damn. Second guy causes it to happen. We're going to talk about that today. Jesus, let me bless your holy. Holy. I know you are. I have talked to you this morning. You talked to me this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege. Now, Lord, would you honor your word this morning? I'm not asking you to honor this preacher. We're talking about the message and the messenger. But honor the word of God. Well, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, I began a series on the Church of Corinth. If you remember, I shared 3 things with you about this church. I said it was a defiled church. I'm just giving you kind of this as a way of introduction to pick up where I left off last week. It was a defiled church. There was drunkenness and there was sexual immorality going on in the church. I mentioned to you that God has a standard for saints. That is for one man and one woman to be married to each other. That's it. No other allowances for the sex act. So it was a defiled church, drunkenness and sexual immorality. Number 2, it was a disgrace church. This church was so upside down. They were not getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ like they should. That's the purpose of the church, is to get out the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. And so it was a disgrace church. They were so busy with their arguing, they were hindering getting the gospel. Number 3, it was a divided church, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. there were at least four groups that were competing for leadership in the church. We'll talk about this in just a moment. I also mentioned 2 weeks ago, not only about this church, but about the calling of God on this church. Look at verse 1, if you would please. I mentioned this. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but I want to recap so you won't be lost. Paul, verse 1, called the men apostles of Jesus Christ, the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. We see the calling of the apostles to service. Paul founded the church. He was the founder of the church. Paul saw the resurrected Christ. You remember the story on the road to Damascus? This is 5 years. From what I studied, I gathered it was about 5 years after Jesus died and was buried and rose again that Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. And Jesus, the Bible says, a light brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him off his horse, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus said, "It's Jesus, the one you persecute." Let me just say this, when you persecute the church, you persecute Jesus. If it's God's church, I'm not going to go into all the details there. But we see the apostles call to service. Then we saw the saints called to salvation. Look at verse 2. And to the church of God was in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. I wrote this down. The saints called to salvation. Every saved person is a saint. Positionally. They may not be a saint in practicality. They may not act like a saint. How many of you are saints position? You're saved. Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. How many of you that just raised your hand, you're a saint positionally, have ever been unsaintly in your practicality? Wow. Let's just give the invitation right now. Come on. Come on. Amen. We don't have to raise our hand. Amen. But the saints call to salvation. Every saved person is a saint. And they must be called by God to be saved. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. But I do believe you have to be called by God to be saved. Amen. Every saved person lost or saved. Every person lost or saved is called by God to salvation. I said every person lost or saved is called by God to salvation. John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth," talking about his crucifixion, he said, "I will draw all men unto me." Now, I'm not very smart. I went to school to Hope Mills, but he said, "I will draw all men unto me." You tell me, what does all men mean?
All men.
All men. All men. This call. This call is a must. This call is a must. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. You can't be saved just because you want to be saved. Now, if you want to be saved, that's a good sign. God may be calling you. But let me tell you something, friend. You're going to get saved when God's calling you. You're going to get saved on God's time, not your time. You're going to get saved when he's calling you. I was 17 years old, born out of my daddy's restaurant. I had money, I had cars, I had friends, I had this and that and other, everything a 17-year-old boy could ever want. And I walked out of my daddy's restaurant, stood on the sidewalk right out here less than a mile away, stood on that sidewalk and said, something missing. Something missing in my life. I look back on it now. I knew what it was. It wasn't a lot, it was a whom. I knew it was Jesus. He was, I was missing Jesus. My life was empty. Thought I had the world by the tail and couldn't find out the world had me by the tail. Amen. This call is a must. Then we see this call is universal. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. And I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, this call can be rescinded. That word rescinded means counsel or revoke. Jesus said, or God said in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with me. Friend, if God's telling you you need to be saved, you better get saved then. There may come a time he says, you don't want it? Okay. And I've heard of that. All these years of being in the ministry, I've heard of that happening to people that put God off, and they put God off, and you put God off, and he said, okay, have your way. I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. So, we see the apostles call service. The saints call to salvation. I'm recapping here. I'm getting busy getting the lesson. Bear with me. We see the body's call to social ability. Verse number 9. Look at that. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I wrote this down. All Christians are partnered with Christ and with each other. Let me say it again. All Christians are a partner with Christ and with each other. Let me just say this. That's one reason God created the local church. So we could come to church and partner together with Christ and with one another. Hesitate to, but I want to show you. Acts chapter 2. I want you to see. Acts chapter 2. We're talking about the body's call of social ability. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Notice what it says. Acts 2, 38. And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many our Lord our God shall call. Many of the words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Verse 41, and they that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what? Church. Such as should be saved by the Lord. Such as should be saved. I said, the body of Christ is called to partner with Christ. Partner. Folks, we're in this together. We're in this together. Outside these walls are a lot of Christians. They're born again, but they're not in church, and they are miserable. They're miserable. By the way, God saved you not to sit sucking sour and jerk, but to serve. Amen. God saved us to serve. There's something you can do in this church that maybe nobody else can do. God's called us to serve. Now, let's look at verse 10. Pick up our message. Look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I told you the title of my message, by the name of Jesus, don't be divided. That's where I got that from. Verse number 10. That is what Paul said. Notice, he said, by the name of Jesus, that you all speak the same thing. By the name of Jesus, Paul says, speak the same thing. That means to speak what you believe. How do we know what to believe? Anybody? The Bible. That's where we get our teachings from. That's where we get our doctrines from. From the Word of God. This is not something I made up for you. Listen, we get our doctrines from the Bible. So Jesus, Paul said, by the name of Jesus, speak the same thing. And then he said, by the name of Jesus, be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Not only should we believe the same thing, we're to think the same way. He said in the same mind. Now, I'm going somewhere, so bear with me. Then he said, by the name of Jesus, be perfectly joined together in the same judgment. In other words, speak the same thing, what you believe, be perfectly joined together in the same mind, what you think. And then he said, be perfectly joined together in the same judgment, or the actions that you take. I wrote this down. Excuse me. When you get plugged into a church, your beliefs, your thoughts, your actions will have a lot in common. Let me say that again. When you get plugged into a church, your beliefs, your thoughts, your actions will have a lot of them. How many of you have ever been getting ready for church? Maybe a Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Wednesday night, and all at once somebody shows up to visit. Somebody? I've heard that. I've heard it happen a lot. Well, we were going to come to church last Sunday, but my sister showed up, preacher. If your mind is right and your heart is right, just say, sister, I'm glad you're here. Come on, we're going to church. We're going to church. I'll tell you something, friend. If it's church time in my house, and we are healthy enough, we're going to church. Hell or high water, die fat, or die skinny, make somebody mad, we're going to church. Now you can go with us, or you can stay here, we'll be back about 8 o'clock. Here's the challenge. I said, when you get plugged into a church, your beliefs, your thoughts, your actions will have a lot in common. You start thinking a lot. You start doing some of the same things that he did. Not that you're walking around copying somebody, but you see your mind is being changed. Your heart is being changed. Your actions are being changed. When you get plugged into a church, I'm talking about plugged in. I ain't talking about hit and miss. You know, about once in a while. I'm talking about getting plugged in. When you get plugged in, you'll start thinking a lot like, actions will be a lot like your heart, your mind. Believe that or not. Let me say this to you. Harmony is beautiful. I mentioned to you a while ago, I used to argue. I don't like to argue. I like harmony. I like harmony in our home, amen? Ain't nobody there but me and Terry and Maggie. Sorry, Maggie, but we got better. Ain't nobody there but me and Terry and Maggie. Maggie, she's a kid. But me and Terry, I like our home to be. Amen. Come on. Man, this argues for the birds. Amen. Harmony is beautiful in families, in friendships, at work. How many has had a job, or maybe you got a job right now? Ain't nothing but blah, 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 blah. How about church? Blah, 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 blah. Going on. Listen. Harmony. This does not mean everybody has the same opinions about everything. But they will not be divisive. Just because you disagree with a brother or sister, you won't be trying to divide the church. You'll agree to disagree and go on. Amen. Amen. Listen. Jesus said, Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom, every city, every house divided against itself shall not stand. I'll just tell you what I said. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm not going to take time to read it. Peter, Jesus told Peter, said, Peter, you're going to die. He even alluded to the fact that he'd probably be crucified. And tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. And here comes John. Think there, John. John was the beloved. John was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. John was the one, the Bible said, Jesus loved. Follow me. Here comes John. Jesus said, or Peter said, Jesus, you told me I was going to die. You basically told me how I was going to die. How is John going to die? Here's what Jesus said. I'm paraphrasing. You can read it. John 21. Here's what Jesus said. What is that to be? What do you mean by that? Peter, why don't you worry about Peter if we're worried about John? I mentioned this morning earlier. How many of us have ever had a minute man? I mean, they tell you everything. They tell you when to go to the bathroom, they tell you when you need to say a word, they tell you this, and they tell you that. Where you been? What you been doing? I can't live like that. I can't live like that. If I got to worry about what Dave Thomas is doing and where Dave Thomas is at all the time, I don't need Dave Thomas. Amen. And I don't worry about where he's at. I don't worry about what he's doing. I know he's working. I know he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. What I'm saying is that if you got to live that way, Peter said, how about John? Jesus said, what is that to do? Peter, take care of yourself. That's what he said. Listen, let me just tell you, don't worry about my devotion to God, and I won't worry about your devotion to God. Now, I may go to you sometime, and you're more than welcome to come to me once in a while. The Bible says, encourage one another to better. Exhort one another, man. don't go around pointing your fingers saying, you need to do this, you need to do this. Just be worried about what you got. I'm gonna be honest with you, friend. I got too much on my plate to go around pointing my fingers and say, this is what you need to do. Amen. We need to be concerned about our own devotion. Now let me show you something else. Look there. Verse 11. For it had been declared unto you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that are contentions among you. Now the word is out. There's been quarreling and fussing at the church. I wrote this down. If you think good news travels fast, bad news is as fast as the sound. Amen. If you think good news travels fast, bad news is fast as sound. Listen. People know what's going on. That's why we need to keep our church above reproach. People know what's going on. We want to do everything we can to prevent divisions and problems. Wow. We are Christians. We're not the stinking world. This is not UPS. This is not FedEx. This is not Call the Sea. This is the house of God. We are the people. Philippians 4:8 says, watch everything is the truth. Watch everything, I'm paraphrasing. Watch everything is the faithful. Whatsoever things are virtuous, whatsoever things are worthy of praise. He said, think on these things. Our biggest problem, when I say our, I'm talking about the preacher here, we don't think. We're running off our feelings and emotions, and we're not thinking. Been there, done that. You have to. We all have. We got a little sign back here in the back. Maybe you know what it says. It says, think. Let me ask you, let me give you a little acronym for think. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it help? Number three, is it inspiring? Number four, is it necessary? Number five, is it kind? T-H-I-N. Is it true? Is it help? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Now notice. We see the issue. We're talking about the vision. In the church. Notice. Verse 12. We see four individuals mentioned. Now this I say that every one of you say it. Now notice what Paul said. That every one of you say it. I'm a Paul. That don't mean they're all saying I'm a Paul. Some of them say I'm a Paul. Then some of them says I am a Apollos. And I am Cephas. And then number four. And I was like, listen, here's the issue. You got individuals. You got Paul, the church's founder, the apostle. You got Apollos, who was an eloquent speaker in Corinth. I mean, whether he could take you to the chandeliers and shake you and bring you back down, he said, wow. Then you had Peter, who they had heard him preach, many of them had heard him preach. And he said, Lord, that people, he's grateful. He's grateful. Three different preachers, three different styles, three different personalities for one message. Notice. Verse 3. And I am Christ. I am Christ. Let me give you an example. You got Norwood, the founder, the senior pastor, preaches Sunday morning. You got Dave, the assistant pastor, preaches Sunday night. You got Terry, the seasoned preacher, gets up here and spouts off on 400 verses. They got Norwood, Dave, and Terry. I don't know this to be so, but there may be some that don't come on Sunday morning because of me. If they heard Brother Davis preaching, they might come. Or they heard Terry preaching, they might come. But they're not going to come because of me. I'm just saying this is a possibility. There may be some that don't come on Sunday night because of Dave. If they hear Terry going to preach on Sunday night, they may come. Or they hear I'm going to preach on Sunday night, they may come. But they don't want to come here, Dave. I'm just saying that's a possibility. There may be some that come on Wednesday night. They won't come on Wednesday night because Terry's here. I'm just kidding now, though. I say, well, I'm like, how many of you men say, well, I ain't going Wednesday night. I'm going to go Wednesday. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that's true. But if that's the case, if a person does not come because of who he's preaching, it causes division. Nor become because of Jesus being preached about. Amen. Listen, I thought it interesting that Paul mentioned Jesus 10 times in the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God might be saying the message is more important than the messenger. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. We'll shut down now. That is what Paul said. For Christ sent me not to baptize, not religious baptism. If you're saved, you ought to be baptized. You're not saved, you need to be saved first. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of wisdom, or wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Let me say this to you. It's the story, not the storyteller. Let me say that again. It's the story and not the storyteller. The story of the gospel. Listen, David, he preaches on Sunday night, preaches the word. Terry, when he preaches Sunday, Wednesday night, preaches the word. I'm trying more ever, and I say this wholehearted, more than ever in my life, I am trying to preach the word of God. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God." I wrote this down. If Christians can't get along, you can believe this. It is not God's fault. Christians can't get along. Not God. I read this last night to you, and I need to share it with you. The title, Christ is King. Psalms 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The government in God's kingdom is unique. It's not a democracy where the people govern, but a Christocracy where Christ is the supreme. In a society of unredeemed people, democracy is the only fair system. But no democracy can ever be better than the people who make it in. When citizens are selfishly motivated, the government will be inequitable. People are dishonest, the government will be the same. Look at America. Man, I'm telling you, those folks in Washington are pitiful. Pitiful. Well, I mentioned it this morning. Money hunger. When people are dishonest, the government will be the same. Over in Proverbs it says, the righteous rejoice when the righteous bear rule. Notice, when everyone wants his own way, somebody is going to get hurt. When everyone wants his own way, very nice. I hope you all do. Very, very little art. Very little. That don't mean we don't disagree. We do sometimes. I don't think. I wouldn't bow that to be brutal. Yeah. In God's kingdom, Jesus Christ is king. Listen to this, and I'm through. He is compassionate, fair, merciful, and just. When he is sovereign in men's hearts, anguish turns to peace, hatred is transformed into love, and misunderstanding into honor. The question is, this is by Billy Graham, is Christ the King of the righteousness? People are worried about being mistreated, self-preservation. Comes to go. As Christ's followers, we can trust that God has our backs and knows what is best. We are then free to serve Him and love others. You've heard me say this before. You've never heard me say it again. I believe that we need to be a church of loving one another, caring, being the Son, praying. I don't know about you, but I need to pray. I think I know a little bit about you. Please. We're in a battle. Those missionaries that were here this week, we had one of them didn't even show up. We could call him, we could deliver him. They was trying, tried, and tried to deliver him. I said, we really. Oh, yes. You all agree? All the time. Oh, by the way, that road's supposed to be. It is. Every morning. We get that all the time. Love one. Fellas. Love you one. Wives. Love you husband. Says something. Like. Parents. Love you kids. Even your grown kids. I know you want you. I know. Not all of them. Not all of them. Love you kids. Kids. Love your parents. Sue. Like more. Bring that thought. My mama did this. I remember my mama died. 2 weeks after my dad died. I don't have a mama. They're going to be gone one day, friend. Without me. Let me tell you, man. We're not perfect. I wish I was telling you the word, but I didn't mind. You know why we're not perfect? We got too many people. We're all just sinners. Same mind us. How we put the new nature aside and we operate with the old nature. Amen. Love each other. Love each other. Bring it. This will be over. Jesus is coming.